The Sharpshooters, Episode 8, October 12th, 2005. Welcome, everybody, to Episode 8 of the Sharpshooters Podcast, a podcast about wrestling. I'm Eric.
I'm like, it's the grand finale.
You choking up a little bit?
I'm dying.
You know why we dying? Because we've been locked in a room in the dark, no food, and we just been released.
No water, no food in the dark for 24 hours.
It's the Sharpshooters Monster Ball Podcast.
Well, yeah, we're vicious right now.
You're vicious. We're seething at the mouth. All right, I guess enough fun and games about talking about TNA Monster Ball too. I guess before we even start the show, let's give out the website information. It's thesharpshooters.blogspot.com. Our email address is thesharpshooters@gmail.com. We appreciate comments and suggestions. And I guess it's time for us to start the show. I guess we're going to just get right into the news.
That's right.
Well, today, Wednesday, October 12th, as you remember, I will say about 90 days ago, it was a lot of wrestlers released by the WWE.
Yeah.
Well, today, those wrestlers' no compete clauses expire. And they're able to go work with other federations.
Good job. Good luck to them.
The list include the names of Shannon Moore.
All right.
Jackie Gayda. Charlie Haas. Matt Morgan. Billy Kidman. Mark Jindrak.
Only person that I see is probably, a lot of them don't really care about in that thing totally. Probably Billy Kidman.
I just want to let you know, Marcus, I have even more news. TNA is apparently interested in some of these guys.
Well, why wouldn't they be? Charlie Haas was pretty good.
Wait, no, I can tell you right now. I haven't. Shannon Moore is a lock. They say he's going to go to TNA, and many people expect huge things because he was never able to really develop after being an MF-er.
He was an MF-er for so long, and they never gave him time on TV.
Jackie Gayda, they're also interested in her because they're trying to develop.
Wife.
Yeah, but they're trying to develop the women's division.
Mm-hmm.
As for Charlie Haas and Matt Morgan, they have a little interest. Billy Kidman, also a little interest. And poor Mark Jindrak, he has no interest.
Oh, man.
I mean,
he was a part of the Angle Crew. I don't know what they were called, but they were the Angle Crew.
Did you know Luther Reigns was out of work, too? And TNA actually niched the Angle. It's going to be like a Monsters of Wrestling. It's going to be him and the Luther Reigns and these big guys that couldn't make it.
Luther Reigns?
Yeah.
I didn't even know what happened to him.
You know that. You know. Also, TNA turned out Kenzo Suzuki and his wife.
Oh.
Yeah, they said no. Even though that's not really part of the story, I just thought we should throw it.
Yeah.
Kenzo Suzuki was shut down.
We should go to the next story.
All right. The next story is RVD is going to be out at least until January. Many people were hopefully that RVD was going to come back within the next couple of weeks, but apparently he had to have some more surgery on his knee.
And you know what? That's bad news for all you Shelton Benjamin fans like myself. Because those two, that's what's going to bring Shelton back. Him and RVD can have classic matches.
We still not going to make it through a show without you mentioning Shelton.
Well, if they put him on TV, maybe I'll mention him less.
Maybe he's on Heat and Velocity.
Yeah, but you know, we're too lazy just to click the downloads.
Oh, man, they're downloads?
Yeah, you just download.
Kind of like a vidcast?
Kind of like that. You know, it's just like Friday and Wednesday, they have the new episodes of
Heat
and Velocity.
Maybe I'll do that.
Yeah, maybe
you should. Do you fans really want to hear what's going on with Velocity and Heat? Let us know.
Well, they have some entertaining stuff sometimes, you know.
All right, the next story is about SmackDown vs. Raw 2006 for the PlayStation 2. As we all know, they're releasing a new wrestling game on November 14th this year for the PlayStation 2.
The best wrestling game for the PlayStation 2 in history.
Well, actually,
but, you know,
I have to say the best wrestling game of all the systems. I mean, Dead Reckoning 2, is that what we have for the GameCube?
Yeah,
it was fun, but it's like we played it when we first came up for about 2 weeks. We haven't really touched it since. I guess the replay value was really low. The graphics are great.
No, it's just that it wasn't as good as SmackDown versus Raw.
All the
year earlier.
I mean, if you guys don't own that one SmackDown game for the PlayStation 2, get one. It could be the first one.
No. Get Bring the Pain. I believe it's discounted on the best sellers
list. I thought it was Here Comes the Pain. With Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, I know.
Get the one with Brock Lesnar on the cover.
Is Here Comes the Pain or is it Bring the Pain?
Reason why, I think SmackDown versus Raw is a good game, but I prefer Here Comes the Pain simply because you have more of the, like, you have your Brock Lesnar's, you have your Steve Austin's.
It's the same quality. It's just that what was I going to say? Oh, God. Oh, no. I totally forgot.
You know what? We was going to talk about the story. We didn't even talk about the reason why the story is brought up.
Why is it brought up?
Oh, the legends that are going to be in the game, it was announced today. Let me read off the list. We're going to have Andre the Giant.
Okay.
Bret Hart.
Pretty good.
The British Bulldog.
Wow.
No Dynamite Kid. I'm sorry.
Come on.
You're going to have multiple versions of Hulk Hogan. You're going to have Hollywood Hulk Hogan. And then you're going to have the retro 80s Hulk Hogan.
Oh, yeah, bro. The one you grew up with.
Can I ask a question? No Macho Man?
The Macho Man doesn't get along with a lot of people.
We're going to have Marcus' favorite, his candidate for a future Hall of Famer, Jake Roberts.
Jake the Snake Roberts. I was so sick of creating a Jake Roberts clothes. I had to give him a mullet and then give him this
fat. Anyway, he's moving on. Jimmy Hart, Junkyard Dog, Mankind, The Rock, Steve Austin, and Ted DiBiase.
DB. As we call them sometimes.
I'll have to say that's a very impressive lineup of legends.
Yeah, but there's a few of them I think are missing. But
yeah, but I mean, hopefully they have a lot of wrestlers in this game. How many wrestlers are they supposed to have?
I don't know, about 47 maybe, 40-something.
All right. And also they're going to have a feature, I guess, where you can use the $1 million belt. And also this game is supposed to be great because it has online play that actually works.
Yeah, but the problem with the online play, I enjoy it. I want the online play and everything. But the only problem with it is that you can't do the Elimination Chamber or the Royal Rumble. The Royal Rumble, I think, will just be epic online. Man.
I'll have to say, if we had a PlayStation online stuff, or if we had a PlayStation that actually works really well, if you guys want to donate to let us get a new PlayStation, we'll appreciate that. Just kidding, y'all. But we would, if somehow we ever set up and get money to get online with our PlayStation, we will set up the Sharpshooters League where we can have a belt for people to fight over and what. I think it would be fun.
Or if we ever fix the PlayStation itself. You know how flawed
that's it's flawed.
Disread error.
But this is not a video game.
All right, let's just go.
All right, last story. It's not really a story. I just felt that we need to bring this up considering his strife in his life. Matt Hardy has made the choice to date somebody else in the wrestling business. He is now dating Tough Enough winner Ashley. I do not know her last name.
Just call her Ashley. Ashley. Know who you're talking about.
So it's Matt and Ashley.
Yeah, I know.
I guess the rumors that you said about 4 episodes ago is about Matt and Lita hooking back up just ain't coming true.
I said that?
Yeah, you brought that up.
I don't remember most of my rumors.
That's all right.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that. Yeah, they were seen in restaurants together.
All right, you guys. That's pretty much the news this week. I mean, it's a pretty slow day for week, but I mean, I guess what us doing these two shows, it kind of takes away some of the news.
Well, did we really have news in one show? I mean, one show.
Yeah, one show we had. We just went straight to the Raw report. You know what? That was the first Raw report of our new format.
It was?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
All right, you guys. So, for the first time, we've been receiving some emails. And so, we really appreciate that. So, we're going to have a segment before we go into our Raw report and the Unforgiven. Mm-hmm. Was No Mercy, right?
Huh? Yeah, it was No Mercy.
Oh, and our No Mercy report.
Oh, man.
Hey, I'm struggling. I just got off of work. What can you say? So coming up next is listener or...
And we call it...
Sharpshooter.
Fan email. Just simple like that. You don't need to get no...
Email.
Fan email. Email. Well, this is not kicking.
We'll be right back.
The fan email. Email.
Welcome back. We're now into our fan email section. We received 2 emails this week, and you know, I'm going to read them off, and we're going to go from there. Our first email was from Dannon. He states, "Let me start by saying I really enjoy your podcast, and it took a lot of balls to put something out like this. I've been listening to all the episodes and can't wait for number 8, but I have a problem with the grand finale's 5 pick of the top 5 tag teams. How could you pick the Bushwhackers? They were a weak tag team. But anyhow, on a positive note, your comments usually hit the nail on the head. Now, before I release the grand finale on Mr. Dannon, we want to say thank you for your email, and we do have the balls and the cojones to do this show.
We got the grace, we got the testicular for it, dude. Well, anyway.
Now, wait, before I even let grand finale, I just want everybody to know, I totally agree with the emailer, Danny, because the Bushwhackers was a very bad pick by the grand finale. But we're going to let him defend himself. Go ahead, grand finale.
I'm going to say, I still don't remember any of the Bushwhackers' names. That's the problem.
Luke and Duke.
See, I'm having a problem with that. But I mentioned the Bushwhackers because they're the Bushwhackers, man. I love the Bushwhackers. These are my favorite. Number five, man. They have to be on there. That's one of the great tag teams in my memory, okay? They weren't skilled in probably no form of wrestling.
I just want to let you guys know he's doing the Bushwhacker thing right now.
I am doing that right now. You know, they're walking. And, you know, they lick people. They lick Mean Gene's head a few times. Everybody who had a bald head, they'll lick. It was just entertaining.
All I have to say is, like I said last week, the Bushwhackers was entertaining to kids. Dannon, you won this battle. The grand finale. Had no defense. Moving on to our next email. Floyd from last week, our friend stationed in the Netherlands, sent us an email because he was talking about how did we leave the Outsiders off the list. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a very valid point why we didn't have the Outsiders off on the list.
And don't say over the Bushwhackers now.
I mean, they could beat the Bushwhackers. Yeah, probably so. I mean, I emailed him our reasons. No really reason to get into that. But we asked him to submit his top five. Mm-hmm. Floyd's top five. His number five team was the Road Warriors, AKA Legion of Doom. As you know, I personally feel that they're very overrated, but that's just my own opinion. Yeah, but good pick.
They're legends.
The NWO. I'm assuming he's referring to the Outsiders.
NWO had like so many.
They had so many tag teams. You had Conan and people.
Then they had those two bald guys.
Yeah,
disciples.
It was a lot. So yeah, the NWO has been number four. I mean, technically, you can put the NWO on all of them. The New Age Outlaws is number three. Mm-hmm. My pick. Just let everybody know. The Hart Foundation. Now, the Hart Foundation is a great tag team. Did they make my list?
They didn't make our list, but they made our notable
I left the Hart Foundation off is simply because Bret Hart achieved so much more success after the tag team.
And the reason I left him off, because I was thinking about actually considering him. But I left him off because I don't remember him that much. I remember Bret Hart mostly as a single career. I just remember the tag partner was Amber, right?
Yeah.
I didn't really remember him that well. You know, I guess I'm too young. You know.
And plus, there were two versions of the Hart Foundation because you had it when Evil teamed up with Owen. Both singles career overshadowed the tag team career, kind of like with the Rockers, why the Rockers was left off, because Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty, exciting tag team.
I think the breakup was the best thing that ever happened.
when he slammed Marty Jannetty head through the glass.
Through the barbershop.
And, okay, let's get back to Floyd's list. The number one tag team on his list was also the grand finale number one.
That was my number four. I can't remember.
Maybe we need to go back and listen to our show. But anyway, the Harlem Heat, Booker T and Stevie Ray.
I feel that's a good pick. Come on, Booker T. They were good. I had never seen them have a bad really tag match. They were Booker T and Stevie Ray.
He also brought up the point that it is so many tag teams out there that it's kind of hard to narrow down to five.
Yeah.
It's pretty much everybody preference.
It's whoever your favorite was.
We invite all the listeners who listen to this, take the time, 2 minutes, email us your top five tag teams so we can discuss this.
Or your favorite.
Yeah. The email is thesharpshooters@gmail.com. All right. Also in this email, he had a suggestion for our top five on our next episode, on episode 9. Mm-hmm. He wants us to do a top five of our all-time greatest entrances.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's going to take us some time to consider, but he brought up some great points. He has Triple H with the live band, any Undertaker entrance, the Generation X entrances, John Cena being drafted on the Raw, and the NWO entrances where it was just Hogan, Hall, and Nash.
Mm-hmm.
Those are worthy opponents. It's going to take me and Marcus time to sit down and actually go through the catalog that we do not have just to think of.
I don't think we're going to do them like specific like that. Because they're so...
Floyd, you're very detailed. Just want to let you know.
I couldn't remember most of them. You know, I remember some of them, but it's like hard for me to consider that specific email.
I remember most of them. Our ring entrance is going to be like, has a top music, the moves and just, and maybe also the impact that it made when it did occur. And like you said, I think we're going to have to eliminate the Undertaker off of it simply because
Undertaker been my number one.
But the Undertaker is just so legendary. It's so cliche to pick the Undertaker.
Yeah, well, luckily leave him off.
Oh, if you want to leave the Undertaker on your list, you can leave the Undertaker on your list.
Well, I said he's gonna be number one, so maybe I should just take him off.
All right, and then also finally, in Floyd's email, Floyd and his friends are having a debate over which wrestlers, if they would stop wrestling right now, who would make it to the Hall of Fame.
And we should just read the list. There's Booker T.
Booker T.
Chris Benoit. Kurt Angle. Scott Hall/Razor Ramon. Farouk/Ron Simmons.
And Dusty Rhodes.
And American Dream Dusty Rhodes.
Now, in my opinion, I'm going to go first before you go, Marcus.
Okay.
Dusty Rhodes is a lot. Because his in-ring attributes, and then also what he did for the sport of wrestling, he was one of the original writers that came up with so many storylines back in the 80s that many people don't know that.
Great promoter.
Yeah, he behind the scenes, he was just great. Read Ric Flair's book. Read some of Hulk Hogan's book. You'll see Dusty Rhodes' name mentioned. Farouk and Ron Simmons.
Controversial.
Hall of Fame. So, first African-American, I'm being politically correct by saying African-American. First black world heavyweight champion. Also was part of one of the best tag teams ever.
What?
Doom.
Doom?
You don't know about Doom.
I don't know Doom.
You don't know about Doom.
The Acolytes, but I don't know about Doom.
Also the Acolytes. And then just what he did for the sport of wrestling. And plus, man, he was a football American.
I don't know. I'll put him borderline. I don't think he gets in my
Scott Hall? No. Scott Hall... His potential could have been so high, but, like, the demons got the best of him.
Yeah, and he just dropped down slowly.
This is my time, man.
I don't get the time.
Yeah, you get your time. You're after me. This is mine. Just wait. Scott Hall, his demons got the best of him.
Ascension.
Kurt Angle, locked. I mean, you can... I'm praying for a Kurt Angle DVD to be released now because any match Kurt Angle has been in on pay-per-view or has SmackDown, has been an instant classic. I don't care. Give me whatever you call me. I'm drinking a Kurt Angle Kool-Aid.
You're worse than she's going to Kurt Angle than I am on Shelton Benjamin.
Chris Benoit? That's hard for me. Chris Benoit has always been one of my favorite wrestlers. I'm on the fence with Chris Benoit, so I got to get back to me. Booker T, I'm also on the fence. Five-time WCW champion, has done nothing in WWE. And the impact that he brings to sports, what can he say?
It's my turn?
It's your turn. Go with your rebuttal.
Let me go to the list. I'll be very quick. Like you said, Dusty Rhodes should be in. Farouk, I'm on the fence. I don't think, Nation of Domination, you know. He wore the plastic at one point, and Sonny and all that. And, you know, I don't remember Doom, and I don't remember him winning the title and stuff. But, you know, same old. But, you know, Farouk is borderline. Scott Hall, I'm going to just say that's a no. He's an alcoholic. He has demons and... He never really amounted to higher than that ladder match with Shawn Michaels to me. Kurt Angle, he's probably in there. Yeah, it's hard to say he isn't. He hasn't had really a bad match. It's rare to see Kurt Angle in a bad match. Who's that? Chris Benoit? Yeah, I'm going to say he's in. I mean, he's...
One of the best technical wrestlers.
He's just the Canadian crippler. And came for the ball. He's like on the same list as Eddie Guerrero, who was more borderline than Chris Benoit. But Benoit is just bad. He's a member of the Four Horsemen. He won the Cruiserweight title in WCW many times. He was the Heavyweight Champion. I mean, it just goes on, and his matches are great. I mean, I put him in. Now, Booker T. I don't know. Borderline. I mean, great tag wrestler. Great tag team with Stevie Ray. Singles, he's been pretty good. He had classic matches with Benoit, who I already mentioned to be in.
That was it.
I know, but I don't know if I should put him in or not. I'm going to say no. Not right now. I don't think he can.
All right, and this was a two-part question from Floyd. He was like, what do we think the criteria should be to get in the Hall of Fame? I mean, this is a hard question to really answer, but I'm going to give an example. The Undertaker. I mean, when he's available for the Hall of Fame, I'm not really sure if they have a waiting list. He needs to be in there because his sponsor, I mean, his promotions. I mean, when he talked, when he made entrances, you knew The Undertaker was here.
I knew The Undertaker was a Hall of Famer as soon as he fought Yokozuna in a casket match. It came out of the pay-per-view, I think it was Survivor Series. And then he was talking in the casket, then he was flying. And it was just a spectacle.
I mean, when you think of wrestling, you think of Hulk Hogan. You think of, and The Undertaker has made it to that point. He has such of an impact. Then also his for being a big guy, his in-ring ability.
Wait a minute. Why are we talking about the criteria?
The criteria. What
about the Undertaker?
Because I'm giving him as an example. The way that he does promos, his in-ring ability, his charisma. I mean, he has charisma. He doesn't even say nothing. It's the way that he looks. True, right now, Mark is a little upset because he looked more like the Black Angus guy than the old-school Undertaker. But you got to give the man credit. He's old. The American Badass, even when he was the Badass, he still had his charisma. He had a fan following.
I like to say the greatest Undertaker is when he was the leader of the Ministry of Darkness.
Yeah, that's true. Crazy when he was crazy. Now, it's just the point is that if you ever go to a live event for wrestling, Undertaker gets a huge, I mean a huge pop. It's beautiful.
And that's pretty much the thing. You got to get a big pop. You got to cut great promos. You got to have great in-ring abilities. You have to,
and you have to have a respect for wrestling.
Yeah, you have to be very respected amongst your peers, pretty much. And you have to, be able to adjust over the many years. You got to be consistent, in other words.
Yeah, I mean, it's just from, like, reading books about wrestling and stuff, it's not as easy as they make it look on TV. I mean, people are already calling Triple H great. I mean, Triple H, I think what the biggest knock on Triple H is that he's married to Stephanie. And so a lot of people are going to hold that against him.
Yeah, because he could just ask for the title.
Yeah.
Go in the room like, hey, baby.
I mean, the list goes on. Shawn Michaels and all that good stuff. I mean, there's plenty of candidates for the Hall of Fame. I mean, we can continue. We can do a whole show dedicated to this. So, I mean, you and your friends have great arguments, Floyd. And I want to say, you know what? Since you've been a part of the show, your emails have helped us out and gave us more motivation to come up with more clever targets. So, the top five entrances on next week's show will be dedicated to you. That's your top five.
Woo.
All right, Floyd, keep the emails coming. We'll be coming back in our next segment with the No Mercy report of the what happened at the No Mercy pay-per-view.
The paper you report.
All right, we're back. I'm Eric. This is Marcus.
I'm Marcus, yeah.
And we're doing the No Mercy recap. Just want to let everybody know, this pay-per-view didn't do that well.
And I didn't order this pay-per-view, so that's the reason why I didn't do that well.
Apparently, it only had 225,000 buy rates. I guess that's how they judge how many people buy the pay-per-view. And then apparently, for people who watched the pay-per-view or who was live at the show, this website reported that it was like one side of the stadium that was barely filled up. A lot of people said, oh, it might not have been WWE because those tickets probably were sold. It's just the problem is, if you remember, No Mercy was held on the day that Houston went 18 innings with the Braves.
Pay-per-view was bad, man. It was a bad card. I wouldn't pay to see that or pay to go. Well, I'll probably pay to go because, you know, going to a wrestling event live is just like great. But, yeah, you know.
But you know what? If you have the money, you can afford ordering these pay-per-views. Why not? But like you say, it was nothing on this card that really sparked my entrance. The very first match of the pay-per-view was the Legion of Doom, Animal and Hyder Reich, with Christy Hemme versus Eminem, Mercury, Nitro, and Melina.
And Animal and them won.
They won.
She did the Doomsday device off the top.
Yeah, we didn't see it, but this is going to be a very quick report because we didn't see it, so we really have no insight.
Let's go through the winners. Bobby Lashley versus Simon Dean.
Lashley
won in like 2 minutes or something.
Yeah.
That's pretty much. He made him eat. And Simon Dean said, if I don't win this match, I eat 20 cheeseburgers straight. And
I guess that's going to happen.
He made it do it. No.
Oh, that happened on that night?
It happened on pay-per-view. He made him do it throughout the show. And then he threw up on the 20th one. And that's all you got going to. All
right. The next match was the four-way dance. Marcus, the only match Marcus wanted to see. Benoit versus Orlando Jordan versus Booker T versus Christian. For the United States heavyweight title.
And Benoit won. And Charmel was being a bitch to Booker T, pretty much. And just complaining about you.
Hey, watch the language, man.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
She was acting like she was having a hissy fit. Is that a good word?
Then we had Marcus introduce him.
Mr. God, that sounded bad. Kennedy!
Versus Hardcore Harley. Oh, sorry. Spark Plug. Kenny won.
Sylvain beat up Hardcore. Let's go to the next match.
All right. JBL with Jillian versus Rey Mysterio.
JBL won.
Did anybody have any doubts?
You did. On the last show, you said you had doubts about that.
But
it's no sellers.
Rey Mysterio just needs to be in the cruiserweight division.
Yeah.
Undertaker versus the Ortons. Randy Orton and Cowboy Bob Orton.
They defeated him, put him in the casket,
and then set the motherfucker on fire.
Yeah.
And sorry, then
they
y'all.
Said they were setting up a buried alive.
I just reprimanded him for cussing and well.
You're out of control. You're a loose cannon. You're out of control. Well, anyway, they set on fire.
I just think that
they setting up buried alive.
I just think that, you know, they're wasting the Randy Orton's ability. I think he should be feuding with Batista.
Dave?
Yeah. Luke, I mean, I have nothing against Eddie, but the feud with Eddie and him makes no sense to me. Eddie's supposed to be his friend. Why is Eddie going to be his friend when he wants the belt? Apparently, there were some matches. It was Nuzio. Wow, was the number 7 match on
A lot of people had complaints. Why was that match so high up there? Some people thought it wouldn't even make the air.
Nuzio versus Juventud with Super Crazy Psycho. The Juice is the new champion.
Yeah, he's the new champion.
Do we even care?
I kind of care.
Where will Rey Mysterio, when he's going to go back down to that division so he can fight the Juice?
Well, at least go to the USA.
They had legendary matches in WCW. And I guess the final match of the night was
Batista and Eddie, which Eddie was, he was teasing, he was going to attack Batista dirty, but he fought him clean. It was Matt Wrestler. Eminem, I read somewhere they booed Batista a little bit. And, you know, they said it was an okay match. It was typical, you know, it was all right, but... Batista's still champ.
All I have to say is, Eddie Guerrero in the ring is just hilarious, especially when he cheats, then he throws the letter, act like he's been... I just love when he tries to act like he's been screwed for the match.
I know, he always gets screwed, though, man. I don't ever see him using a weapon.
So overall, from all the fan responses about the pay-per-view, it was mediocre. Pretty much it was a SmackDown taping.
It gets a thumbs down kind of view.
And the next pay-per-view coming up for WWE is Taboo Tuesday.
Taboo Tuesday.
Presented by Raw.
I hate that name.
I remember when it came out, Marcus, and they just kept saying Taboo Tuesday.
I'm going to beat you at Taboo Tuesday.
And you were just upset by Taboo.
Man, hey, you remember a year ago, Ash was going for the heavyweight title. You remember that? And he was complaining about not being...
on Taboo Tuesday. Yeah. That's when he snapped.
Yeah. It's been a year.
Man.
And he still ain't catching.
And he still ain't using Money in the Bank. Well, we gonna get to the whole Money in the Bank angle right now in the next segment. No, it's the next segment.
Oh, it's the next segment?
The show's almost coming to an end, dude.
The Raw Report, yes.
Yeah, the Raw Report. We'll be back with the Raw Report.
The Raw Report.
Welcome back. I'm Eric.
I'm Marcus, the grand finale.
And this is the Raw Report. Monday Night Raw from Corpus Christi, Texas on October 10th of 2005. Before you even start getting to the show, we're going to rank it right now. Mediocre show, too.
I would say it was okay.
It was okay, but I mean, compared to the show
last week,
it really didn't compete. The show opened up with the new WB, Stephanie McMahon, coming out.
Mm-hmm.
She spewed.
She slapped.
She whined.
She slapped.
She stand up on an announcer table and whined some more.
And she slapped.
Apparently, her angle is going around slapping people because she just can do that. She slapped this guy.
The stage manager.
His name is actually listed. Mark Eaton.
No, don't we need his name?
I got his name.
Stage manager.
The set it up, for some reason, I have never seen this in wrestling before, but they made sure they had a great shot at this. He was giving her the wrap-up signal.
Well, they probably do it all the time, but you know, you don't notice that guy.
I don't think so, dude.
They don't point it out like, he wrap it. He tried to tell her to wrap it up.
Anyway, so she took offense that he was telling her to wrap it up.
So
she went and slapped it. Also, she slapped
Lillian Garcia.
Lillian Garcia.
And then, wait a minute.
Slapped her again.
Which I felt was unjust.
You might cause interference with the mic with that snap. Yeah, I don't know. And also, then she slapped...
She slapped the cameraman, I think.
The cameraman?
Well, I don't know if she slapped him. They don't really show.
And then she went up to the announce table, got on the mic, and kids, if you're listening, close your ears now. She announced over the mic to the entire crowd, the bitch is back.
And she is, I guess.
And it went to a commercial break.
Mrs. Hamsley.
And then, just look at me.
Your boy.
He ain't really my boy. It's just funny because his theme music is funny. Mr. Rob Conway versus Marcus Boy. If you guys don't know,
that's Doink the Clown.
Doink the Clown. One of the best and worst creations ever by WWE.
I mean, tell me somebody that don't remember Doink the Clown.
You remember Doink the Clown, but everybody knows Doink the Clown sucked. Doink and Dink?
I don't know if this was the original Doink. They said it was Steve Lombardi.
It might have been. It doesn't really matter.
It was Doink. I don't care. Doink and reincarnated. I don't care.
This is put it this way. Rob Conway won this match.
With the Eagle.
And the only reason why this match was scheduled is because, as you remember, on Homecoming, Rob Conway was dishing the legends.
Yeah.
I'm trying to say. You had all those legends in the ring. Doink was even at the show. You trying to tell me Hacksaw Jim Duggan was available? Apparently not, because he was flipping over buses.
Well, that's a different story entirely that we don't need to get into.
Yeah, but real quick, Hacksaw was at a charity event. Somehow they were practicing. He flipped over the bus with a reporter.
Minor injury. Anyway, Doink fought. Doink lost. Conway talked about he's all the legends. And I have a problem with him saying this.
What?
This is Randy Orton's angle, killing legends.
Yeah, that's the first thing I thought. Okay, get this. Sylvain is stealing Rob Conway's angle.
Or is Rob Conway stealing his angle because he wasn't model at 12.
Rob Conway did it first.
Okay.
So he's doing his angle. Yeah. And now, apparently, because someone's stealing Rob Conway's angle,
he's going to steal Randy Orton's
angle.
It's an angle.
What's up with that? But I guess.
What, are you hurting?
No, but you realize, though, that when Randy Orton begins to feud with Batista, I'm pretty sure they're going to drop the Legend Killer. Cause
yeah, I'm one of those going to Bob Orton Jr. when that happens.
I believe, like you said, they're having the Buried Alive match. I think Bob is Jr. is just going to be the only one buried alive.
Ew.
Why not? Okay. After this, they went to commercial again, and it was the Cabana. Carlito's Cabana.
You sure?
Yeah.
What's the Cabana next?
Look, man, the notes.
Lots of talking.
So first, Carlito introduced Kurt Angle.
He didn't really introduce him.
Kurt Angle just kind of came out. Kurt Angle talking about how he's the one contender, how he is no question the belt and all this good stuff. Did we see what he did and beat Shawn Michaels last week and all that good stuff?
Speaking of Shawn Michaels, here he comes out.
And he brings up the point that
Kurt Angle walked away.
That walked away, didn't want to continue the match.
Mm-hmm. And then after he walked out,
Big Show came up.
Oh, it was the Big Show before?
It was the Big Show. And Big Show made a good point. He said he's been nice and been waiting in the back, and he decided that it's time for him to start taking his shots. Why not? It's nice to see, because reported that we was talking about Big Show was trying to do a leave of absence.
He was unhappy.
Looked like that they're actually putting him in more storylines.
He's happy, though.
I mean,
no more Gene Snitsky with him.
Is Gene Snitsky still employed?
It doesn't matter. He is, Eric. Anyway, following that, here comes Mr. Money in the Bank. Edge.
I'm glad that they sent Edge out here, because then it's like you can see that they're trying to rework Edge back into the heavyweight contention, because he brought up great points that he is the guy with the money in the bank.
Yeah, and until he cashed that baby in,
nobody got it.
And man, then, when is he gonna cash?
Did somebody call Lita a slut? No, wait.
It was John.
Before here, this is where Carlito says, well, I think all you guys deserve it. But then he says, only one person in this ring that really deserves it. Carlito. And you see Kurt Angle, and he's like, it's Carlito. and Kurt Angle's like, what? And then he snaps.
And that's when the champ.
That's when the champ is here. And he did a little rap.
This is probably the most enjoyable John Cena segment. And
worst part about it, we have the notes, so I'm going to relive. I'm not going to say it with the John Cena charisma. He said
you don't need to say it. Okay. That's what I'm saying.
You not even a line?
We don't have to say
But he called Carlito a chia pet puss.
Yeah, but you don't need to say the line.
And then,
very volatile.
And you claim your money in the bank, and you think you know me? Well, John Cena's like a pinwheel. So you can go ahead
kids, you can't continue to say that line. For the kids, man. For the kids.
I mean, the Big Show one was
they're playing with the Big Show.
Hold on. No, the greatest one. HBK, I'm scouting you heavy because I know there's no one better. But you're a little too friendly wearing chaps, chains, and leather.
It was a great John Cena segment. John Cena was actually good on the show.
But the worst part about this,
I like the John Cena on the show.
Why is he going to put his piece in Kurt Angle's mouth? That's kind of gay. Yeah, because the line he said.
I don't need to hear the line anymore. Enough of you and John Cena.
Anyway, as we say, Marcus enjoyed John Cena. Like I said, I came around on John Cena kind of a long time ago.
You would.
I mean, hey, whatever. John Cena's all right. Yeah. He's not Hall of Fame material, but he's entertaining. He does what he needs to do. Mm-hmm. He's not the prototype.
Half man, half machine. Anyway, that's John Cena. His jacket.
All right, so the next match of the night was Chris Masters versus Tajiri.
And then 2 minutes, So Jerry jumped him. He didn't let him do his entrance. You know, he's praying or whatever the hell he's doing down there. Anyway, so Jerry jumped him. The match ended in like 30 seconds. It was it. So Jerry loses. Match a lot.
The thing is, you know what took away a lot from this match?
What grinds your gears?
No. I'm not Peter Griffin. But it's that, if I recall, when Chris Masters was making us all sick with the Master Lock Challenge, I believe Tajiri was a contestant.
I think he was the first contestant, a wrestler contestant. Yeah,
Tajiri lost. Mm-hmm. He lost again.
Well, they had to put somebody on that show.
My question is, though, what concerns me now, as you remember, Chris Masters was getting this huge push.
Mm-hmm.
A huge push. And you know what? Rightfully so, because we all hate him. Now he's back down to mediocre.
I think he's going to be put the match at Taboo Tuesday. I think it's going to be a three-way dance for Intercontinental or four-way.
Yeah, he has to go for it. I think he has to walk. He has to crawl before he walks. Mm-hmm. He needs to go for the Intercontinental.
See, but this is what would be nice if they would have kept the King of the Ring around. They could have used him to win the King of the Ring and have him do something.
Yeah. Okay, the next thing was my favorite segment of the whole show. After the match, they went backstage, and you see Triple H walking. This is leading up to Triple H and USPU that we haven't had in a long time. But anyway, he's backstage. You know, he's walking with his strut. And first, here comes Shawn Michaels confronting him. And we have to quote the exact line at Triple H. He was like, Shawn Michaels said, Triple H, you lost my respect for what you did to Ric Flair last night.
Did he say that? That was John Cena who said that.
He said, Michael said, they've known each other for a long time, and he knew pretty much what Triple H was capable of. However, what he did last week to Flair was too much. Triple H laughed. Give me a Triple H laugh. And walked away. But I swear Triple H said, I don't need your respect.
He don't say that the whole time.
All right. He walked by some more wrestlers.
Sheldon Benjamin and
Viscerous, black people. Then Big Show got him. And once again, they're still selling Big Show.
As the most intimidating guy in the room.
And you know what? Damn it. It's granted. Andre got by with this angle. Big Show can too. Mm-hmm. So
Big Show has tried this angle numerous times. At one point, he's like, smoking.
don't forget that. He's dying. I was kind of disappointed with Big Show said. He said, Triple H, someday you're going to get yours. Mm-hmm. And you know, what is he going to get? Could have did a little bit more.
Well, but Triple H looked intimidating. He saw that the Big Show is, you know, the big guy.
Now, the next person that Triple H ran into was John Cena. Marcus, now, before we get into the segment and talk about what John... Did you enjoy John Cena at this...
I told you I enjoyed John Cena the entire night. Okay. Okay? That's all I'm going to say.
So, John Cena says he doesn't know him, but after last week, we lost some respect. He lost some respect.
Word.
Hunter said the last thing Cena wanted to do was to get his attention. Cena told him to come and get some. Hunter said he will when the time is right and then beat
up. He'll take it. He said he'll take it.
Yeah, he was like, he'll take it. And then he beat up some guy backstage.
He just threw some guy. I was like, that's
not. Now, my question is,
who's that guy?
No, it don't matter. Last week, when Triple H was whooping Ric Flair, what was everybody at?
Oh, come on. What are you going to do about it? It was yelling at these guys. I was like, come on, man.
And because we spent a lot of time on the, I hit the mic. I'm sorry, you guys, for the static. Because we spent a lot of time with Triple H did backstage, when he talked about the ring, we're just going to sum it up real quick. He was just saying that he lost all respect for Ric Flair because he was so happy about winning the Intercontinental Championship. For mediocrity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, what's with his 70s beard? That looks so weird.
I kind of like the beard. As long as he don't put the suits on.
He needs to shave it or something. He doesn't. He needs to grow it all the way around or something.
Then they announced the main event, and then they went, the next matches are going to be Trish versus Victoria.
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb here. Best match of the night.
It was actually a fairly good match.
I'm saying it's the best match of the night. And it's the first time the women's match has ever been the best match of the night to me.
And I have to say, a new woman's wrestler debut. Mm-hmm. Her name is Mickie James.
And she's a stalker.
And, well, that's what they're going for. Inside of Ohio Valley Wrestling, yes, Marcus, I did some research on this. Her name was Alexis Lahrie. She was actually pretty big. One thing I can say about her, she throws a really good punch for a girl.
Yeah, she was pretty good out there.
And she was half naked, too, which doesn't hurt.
She wasn't half naked. Half naked. It was half naked. She wasn't half
but
naked.
What concerns me is that I guess they finally now have, I guess, three good girls, and three bad ones. But my issue is that Trish can wrestle.
Survivor Series.
Trish can wrestle.
Victoria's pretty good.
Mickie James can wrestle, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Ashley is green, so you don't expect much, but she can get in there and get beat up and tag out.
Victoria Wilson, sorry. Oh.
Victoria is the only heel that can wrestle. And then you have Candice Michelle and Tori. Mm-hmm. Please bring in some more women wrestlers. Please. I ask you.
Ever since they fired Gail
King. Just want to let you know something. Sable tried to get back in WWE and they said no.
I don't need Brock.
They said that she was too old. They said she was too old.
I mean, she's like 58.
48, actually.
I'm pushing up 10 years.
Anyway, so after the match, you know, Trish is recovering. That's when she comes up, Mickie James, and she's talking about, I'm your fan and all this good stuff.
She's a stalker, pretty much.
They're going with the stalker angle.
Mm-hmm. Which has been
done many
times.
Then it came for the main event for wrestling. I have something else that Mark's going to probably say that grinds my gears after this match.
Mm-hmm.
It was Kurt Angle, Edge, Carlito versus Cena, Michaels, and Big Show.
Yeah, that's good enough. It was pretty good.
Decent match. I mean, not much. Kurt Angle, Edge, and Carlito won. Mm-hmm. But, like, I mean...
Oh, just the important part, though. Kurt Angle defeated Cena.
Yeah. Because
Cena reversed the ankle lock and put him in the ankle lock. But Kurt Angle reversed his ankle lock and then put him in a roll-up pin, which got the 1-2-3.
Which was a nice little finish touch to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I just like how the announcers were really selling it to the point where, where they felt that... where they felt that how was John Cena going to get along with all these guys that he just got finished dissing.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice any animosity between the guys?
I didn't see none.
The
Big Show and Shawn Michaels seemed to be entertained by what he was saying to them.
Well, see, to me, Shawn Michaels is entertained by what he be doing in the ring when people be talking.
All I say, I didn't bring this up under Cabana. Shawn Michaels actually used the chair and drunk the juice.
Out the coconut.
Yeah.
Out the coconut.
He looked like he enjoyed it. I always wanted to try that.
It ain't nothing in the coconut, but it was funny, nonetheless.
Man, let's back to the match.
I think they could have made it better by if they would have made Shawn Michaels and maybe Big Show a little apprehensive with tagging them. You know, they'll throw a little bit of, like,
at least have Cena get beat up most of the tag, then got to get the hot
tag. Yeah, and then it's a tag.
I got to stop slapping my head.
And then when they tag him, it's a hard tag, stuff like that. But I guess they're trying to keep the whole babyface thing. Mm-hmm. And then here we come to what really grinds my gears.
Here we go.
You know how I feel. I feel when there's a wrestling show, the wrestling show should end with wrestling.
Or a beating.
Or something. Instead,
we
all know, and you know what? I didn't bring this up, but the whole theme of the show was somebody getting fired.
Mr. Man was going to come out and walk out and say, I'm going to fire him. Now, let me say something. This segment went on way too long.
Yes.
They could have put a match in here, and they could have added anybody. They could have had this Jerry Masters match longer.
And the worst part about this, as anybody who surfed the internet for information about wrestling like we knew, we all know that it's been hinted that it's going to be Jim Ross.
Yeah, so, you know, since they didn't get Mike Goldberg, they tried to play with that, but you know.
Yeah, but the thing is, they didn't even really tease it well enough.
Mm-hmm.
It
was very predictable.
It was very predictable. They called the announcers out one by one. You know, Vince demanded that they apologize to him. The King and Coach apologized, of course. Jim Ross was saying, I apologize that your wife got stunned. Right then, right there, I knew that Linda McMahon was going to turn on him.
Mm-hmm.
You just could tell because how he just kept saying the name. So Vince says, you know what? It's okay with me, your apology, whatever, but you have to apologize to my daughter.
Yeah, she came out.
She slapped somebody else. And slapped somebody. And then next thing you know, Vince was like, Shane is coming. Shane didn't come. Here came Linda. They made a playoff like, hey, Linda was being a good savior.
She kicked them in the nuts.
Kicked them in the nuts and said, you're fired and all that good stuff. Trying to turn her bad guy. My prediction is Shane is going to be the savior.
No.
Marcus seems to think no, but I think so.
No.
So I just want to, if I am right and Shane is the one that rehires Jim Ross to do something on WWE, just remember to email all the hate mail and I told you so to Marcus. What? And I would appreciate
this that. This isn't going to happen. I'm telling you, that's the stupidest damn angle I've ever heard. I don't know where the hell this angle going. I'm using hell a lot. But anyway, I don't know where it's going. Shane's not going to be a savior. That would make no sense whatsoever.
So as of right now, apparently the announcers for next week is going to be Jerry Lawler and the Coach. I mean, two bad guy announcers, apparently, you know, well, heel announcers going, I don't know how they're going to do this. I mean, the coach.
I don't know.
The coach is the coach, and the coach is the coach.
Yeah, it's all
also, family. Some notable mentions next week's on the Cabana will be Mick Foley.
The hardcore legend, Mick Foley.
Marcus, you're one of your favorite wrestlers, Kane, will be making his return.
Yes, Kane, who's been missing for some time due to injury.
No, but yeah, it was injury, but then they play off the angle that he was arrested.
Yeah, he was arrested.
He was arrested. But what is Kane really going to do?
Well, he could have a feud with Chris Masters. He could be evil Kane again and kill some people. Electrocute Shane's nuts again. I don't see why.
Shane got to be on TV to do that.
Well, he might be back. You know, the McMahons are everywhere these days.
Well, like we said, you know, after I go through Raw, I have to say Raw was actually okay.
Nah.
It sounds better than the No Mercy pay-per-view. But
like
Marcus said, it was mediocre. Yeah. Marcus is oohing about.
I was oohing about the mediocre.
Just want to let you know why we're recording the show. Your grand finale is looking at the Angels White Sox game.
Go White Sox.
Whatever.
I wasn't thinking about that. I didn't even see that until I looked over there.
Well, anyway, we'll be back with our closing statements. Final comments. As we're back. And I have been corrected. Instead of saying closing statements, Marcus feels free to say closing comments.
It's not statements, it's comments.
I can't stand you sometimes.
That seems to be the jizz.
Man, the jizz. Why don't you sit up so people can hear your voice? You're behind the mic. How the sound gonna get from behind the mic?
They picking me up.
They picking you up?
They picking me up.
Like you picking up John Cena's piece?
You gotta go there.
I'm just saying, what you have to say to close out the show, Marcus?
What I have to say is, I appreciate all the emails that we have. They're very good. We need more.
Thank you, Floyd and Danny.
We need more.
Please send us more. TheSharpshooters@gmail.com. And you know what?
Hey, can y'all let me say my statement, boy? We're gonna have a fight. It's gonna be dissension in here. I'm gonna find collusion somewhere, and then we're gonna fight. Kick you in the nuts. I've been in that room for 24 hours, Eric.
Who gonna put the show? Who gonna put the show online? You don't know how to do that.
Well, I'm not that intellectual, but I was in the room for 24 hours. I forgot what I was gonna say. See, you ruined my closing statements. My closing statements is, I said the email thing. I don't know where the hell JR and them are going with this. I don't know where they plan on sending this. Is JR really going to come back? And are they going to really have the coach and the King Carter wrestling event? Because that would really take a lot of the night. Especially a night like this one, which they struggled. That's all I got to say.
That's it?
That's all I got to say.
All right. My closing statement is, I want to thank all the fans, all the listeners. It's my statement.
Comment.
I want to appreciate Dana for his email. I want to appreciate Floyd. I would like you guys to take examples from Floyd and Dan and send us some emails. Let us know. I mean, send us stuff in before our new top five for our next week episode of
the top
five entries. We would like to have all the submissions in by Friday or Saturday, roughly. Also, you know, if you guys have anything to comment on your top five tag teams, we know we left out some. If you want to submit your list, go ahead. You just want to say who we left out, we'll do it. We'll mention you. If you want to plug your own podcast, I'll even take some of that. You know, yeah, why not?
We can't do that. We can't afford to lose ratings.
Because you realize we plug theirs, they plug ours.
Yeah, that's true.
Just want to let everybody know, I checked that Podcast Alley. We are available to be voted for. If you want to vote for us, just go to Podcast Alley, type the Sharpshooters into search, and, well, vote for us. We have two names, so I just vote for the top one so we can get more notoriety and more people out there, because it'd be nice if we create a little wrestling network where we have people conversate about all things.
And then maybe
wrestling.
My promo segment may come back.
Marcus, no one wants to do your promo segment. I'm sorry.
It was a great idea, I'm telling you.
No, it's not.
People, listen, the promo segment was excellent.
No. If you guys want to know what the heck the promo segment is, go back to the very first episode and listen to the grand finale, Act Like He's a Wrestler.
It's pretty much, I don't even want to bring it up anymore. Felt bad. My promo was bad. And I apologize for anybody listening to episode 1 for that promo.
I think this is pretty much the show.
Don't you gotta give out the information again?
I'll give it out one more time.
One more time.
The website, which I'm gonna try to work on because I've been getting some complaints while it's not working with everything, but it's Blogger and I don't know what really. Hopefully, within the coming months, I learn how to really do a real website, and maybe we can do it that way. But right now, just please bear with us. The website is The Sharpshooters. That's DASHARPSHOOTERS at Blogspot, BLOGSPOT.com. Our email is The Sharpshooters, DA, Sharpshooters, at gmail.com. We love all the fans' email. Just let you guys know, email and comments and suggestions is what keeps this show going. It keeps us motivated to continue to do this show.
Yeah, I'm already motivated. I ain't got nothing else to do.
Yeah, well, you have no life. Anyway, I'm Eric.
I'm Marcus, the Garden Fanatic.
And this has been the Sharpshooters Episode 8. We'll see you guys for Episode 9. We're out.
The sequel.
He was a part. Yeah. They jumped Eddie Guerrero.
Which was well deserved too.
And Batista saves Eddie Guerrero. But before we come to the ending, I wanted to know though, if JBL would have hit the clothesline from hell, what did Christian intend to do off the top rope? Really?
What was he intended to do? Elbow,
really? I'm just curious.
Or a big splash. Christian really goes up on the top rope.
I have never seen him being successful off the top rope. Anyway, as the match ends, for some reason, it's Eddie Guerrero on his knees in the front of Batista in a very compromising situation. Yeah.
We really digress because that was before the... that was after. Yeah,
that was after.
I'm really confused.
Anyway, that was SmackDown.
No Mercy this Sunday. Should we give our predictions?
We're just going to give the lineup for No Mercies. On the Raw report, we're going to give the results from No Mercy. We're not ordering No Mercy because simply it's not...
It's nothing orderable.
It's not really nothing you really want to see.
The four-way might be pretty good.
I just want to say probably the next pay-per-view, if we order any pay-per-view, will probably be Survivor Series. Mm-hmm. But we will continue to give you the results if you're not able to get the results, which is... First is the World Heavyweight Championship matches. Batista, the champion, versus Eddie Guerrero.
I'm picking Batista to win that one.
Then you have Undertaker versus Bob and Randy Orton.
I'm picking Undertaker to win that one. No! I'm picking him to lose that one.
Then you have the United States Championship match. Chris Benoit versus Booker T versus Orlando Jordan and Christian.
That can go every way but Orlando Jordan's way.
I think that's the most interesting match of the whole entire night, personally.
Because so many storylines are involved in there.
Then you have Rey Mysterio versus JBL.
I'm picking JBL. JBL's going to win.
Unfortunately, I think I got to pick Rey Mysterio.
Nah.
Simply because I think...
He hasn't even been on TV enough to win.
They're trying to put him over.
They're not putting him over.
Then you have LOD and Christy Hemme versus Eminem with Melina.
Some tell me Eminem going to win. I'm just going to go out the limb and guess.
Well, it's time to give him the belt back.
Well, it's not a tag guy match.
It should be.
I don't know what the hell it is.
And then we're going to have my favorite match, the opening match of the night, Simon Dean versus Bobby Lashley with Simon Dean's broken hand. No one really cares who wins this match, but damn it.
He
did some squats.
I don't see why you're impressed by the squats, man.
It was funny.
It was entertaining.
Funny,
Eric. There's no need to see squats. You taking it like, he did some squats. I ain't never seen
squats. Man, it's 2 in the morning. You're already tired. Exciting is exciting. Well, this has been a SmackDown report. We're going to come back next with our closing statements, and we'll finish you guys. I mean, it's almost an hour-long show. Hope you guys are ready for this.
It's packed.
Well, we're finally at the end of our show.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say something right now. TNA is doing a better job of building up their pay-per-view than WWE did building up their No Mercy pay-per-view.
Well, they don't really build up those. They already build up the four major ones, Survivor Series, SummerSlam, WrestleMania.
Yeah, I mean, like...
And the Royal Rumble.
The promotion for... I mean, only matches they've been really promoting has been the Undertaker versus Bob Orton, the Eddie Guerrero. I mean, considering if I knew the level, I'll let you guys know if both pay-per-views are going on the same Sunday... More than likely, I would order the TNA one, just so I can see the X Division match, personally. If you look at the lineup for No Mercy, is there any match you really want to see?
Well, Batista and the four-way. That might be pretty good.
But Okay, no, we cancel that matches out because that's gonna be one bad match canceled out with the Monster Ball 2 match with TNA.
You don't know if that's gonna be a bad match. It's a sequel to another Monster Ball.
Mark said, locking people up in the cage. But I mean, you realize though that. I mean, tell me the truth. Would you rather see that match or would you rather see Christopher Daniels and AJ Styles in an Iron Man match?
Why you gotta put me on spot? Okay, yeah, I would rather see that.
I mean, it's just,
I think you are right. The Bound for Glory, you know.
The Bound for Glory seems like a better pay per view. I mean, true, I'm not really that quick to want to go order a TNA pay per view.
You're not quick to order any pay per view. They cost $35.
Yeah, especially because you still have Jeff Jarrett versus Kevin Nash, and I would rather see Eddie Guerrero versus JBL than that match.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you compare it 1-1, I mean, they pretty much each match is canceled out each other.
I think they will equal the same in total amount of quality.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, the X Division will have their moments. The four way match may have their moments. Eddie and Batista may have his moments. And the Iron Man match will have his moments. And
then the tag match. Is there even a tag match for TNA?
I don't think it was.
They still have more matches to announce, though.
And then Bobby Lashley and Simon Dean.
I'm doing squats, y'all. I'm doing squats for the rest of the show. Psych.
You're too fat to do squats for the rest of the show.
Yeah, you got any more closing statements for the show?
Let's see. We went on long enough. Please send email.
All right. Let me give out the contact information at the 56-minute point. The website, thesharpshooters.blogspot.com. Our email, thesharpshooters@gmail.com. Please email us your top five or any top fives that you guys want us to discuss on the show. All right. Once again, let's give out another shout out to our first email, Floyd. Stay strong in the Netherlands, my brother. Move on. All right. We out. See you guys, I guess, Tuesday and Wednesday for the Raw Report.
And this is Eric.
This is Eric. Yes, I am Eric.
And I'm Marcus, the Grand Finale.
And we are the Sharpshooters. See you guys next show. Bow.